This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by Freude Nesuim Shal Eli Bodnar, Michali Maez. Wednesday, 17th of October, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, Rabbi Paul Goldblatt, walking in the mud on Shabbos.
Chodesh, I thought as we started saying Mashur Rav Umar Tagashem, it's a good time. Here's Mr. Lutashim. It's a good time to speak about different issues involving mud on Shabbos. I know in this country there's probably just as much mud as all around the year, but in many places it can be more common during the rainy months in the winter. There'll be more mud around, and there can be a few different issues on Shabbos that some of which people may not be aware of. When one walks in mud and then comes in contact with mud. So principally there are two separate parts in what we're going to speak about. The first question is the actual problem of walking in mud. There are many cases where there are customers who will say that it's lawful to walk in mud. We'll go through that and why, when they suggest that would be the case and why that might not be so. And the second thing, if we get there, will be the question of how to deal with clothes and shoes and carpets that have mud on them on Shabbos, what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. Yes, it wasn't always. We'll see exactly why. The question only arises in certain cases. In most cases, it's mutar l'kulam. In certain cases, when the mud is very soft, then we'll see there's a question and many pasukim ask us. If it's a hard earth surface, which is not so soft, it's not going to make an impression when you walk, then there's no question. We'll get to when there's a question, when some pasukim ask and when not. The sugya where we get to this question is a famous machlokas of Shimon and Rabbi Huda, which is mentioned in many places across Shas as machlokas in Kol HaTorah, not specifically in Shabbos, machlokas of Shimon and Rabbi Huda, whether the Baruch Sheini Miskaven is nukul or not. If there's an unintended side effect of what someone's trying to do, then according to Rabbi Shimon, this is not specific to Shabbos, it applies everywhere. According to Rabbi Shimon, you don't have to be concerned about that. You're allowed to do whatever you're trying to do, even if something else, which is a matter of Issa, will may. Come out from that, either on Shabbos, or the Gemara applies it to throwing wine onto the fire of the Mizbeach. There's an Issa of Eish Tomas Kukaban on the Mizbeach, Leis Tisra, you're not allowed to extinguish the flame of the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, in Minotavim to Shimon, you're allowed to throw liquid onto the flame because you're not trying to put out the flame. The Gemara applies it to Shatnus, the Gemara applies it to cutting up the Farah, the Gemara applies it all the way across all the Issa of Shabbat Torah. We apply this in Achleikas, according to Shimon, you don't have to be concerned about something that you're not is not what you're trying to do, something that's unintended that may be happening, and which would itself be a Masa Issa. And according to Rabbi Huda, that will be also according to Rabbi Huda, that will be an Issa Deraita. And the halacha of Shimon, classic case of the Machlokas, which is quoted in the Gemara in many places. The first place is Shabbat HaKofesh, and then a few other places in Shabbat and in other Masechos, is the Machlokas of Goyer Odom Mitzakis Evisakol on Shabbos. If you're dragging a heavy piece of furniture, you're dragging a bed or a table or anything like that across a dirt floor, an earthen floor on Shabbos, the Gemara says that according to Rav Shimon, that will always be mutter. According to Rav Shimon, you don't have to be concerned about the fact that you're making a charit, you're making a furrow or a groove in the floor, which will be offered on Shabbos. We'll get to exactly which is, because that's relevant to the question. Shimon, you don't have to be concerned about that because it's a Baruch Sheini Miskaven. It's not what you're trying to do. What you're trying to do is transport the furniture from one side of the house to the other, and the fact that it may make a furrow in the ground is not relevant to you. It's not what you're trying to do, and therefore you don't have to be concerned about that. According to Yehuda, the Gemara says, if they're gedolim, if the piece of furniture is large or something heavy, which is there's a certain likelihood that it's going to dig a furrow in a groove in the ground, then that would not be allowed on Shabbos. And since Allah has like Shimon, the Shusmar says in finishing Lamed Zayin, if Aleph, that even if you have a heavy table, a heavy bed, you're allowed to drag it across a dirt floor on Shabbos, and you don't have to worry about the furrow that might be created by that. However, as we know, the Gemara says in many places that Noida Rav Shimon figurei sheva lo yonos. Rav Shimon definitely agrees. Rav Shimon is not saying that anything you're not trying to do, anything that your intention is always going to be. But if you're doing something by accident, you're not trying to do it, and that is happening, then you may well say that you're doing a Maaseh Issur. Rav Shimon says that if you're doing a specific action and there's another, if effect that that may cause, which itself would be awful, but it's not inevitable for that thing to happen. It's not definitely going to create the other action. Then Rav Shimon is the other effect. Then Rav Shimon is matter. However, if it's sikreishe, if it's similar to the most saying a muscle of if you cut off a chicken's head and you say, I want to take the head, I want the chicken's head to take home, I'm not trying to kill the chicken, then obviously the chicken is going to die. That would be a melacha of shechit on Shabbos. And then Rav Shimon will definitely agree, because of what you're doing is obviously going to cause this melacha to happen, and therefore there's no sad heper. Even Rav Shimon will agree that it's awful. So although the Gemara says that there's machlokes Rav Shimon Yehuda about dragging a heavy piece of furniture, nevertheless the Rishonim say, quoted in the Beis Yosef and in the Nevi'im of Rome, that if the thing that you're dragging, the table that you're pulling across the room, is so heavy that it's inevitable that it's going to dig a furrow in the ground, then that will definitely be off, even if it's Rav Shimon, maybe only a Drabonon, if it's not something that you want to happen, maybe it's only and it's a Drabonon, but nevertheless it will definitely be off on Shabbos, even though we pass on like Rav Shimon, Baba Shimon is covered in Mutter, if it's sick ratio, if it's definitely going to happen, it's something that you know when you're doing the action is going to occur, there's no heter for that at all. So therefore, the Pesukim discuss a number of different cases of which are similar to this. When you're creating a furrow or a groove or a hole, which is the same halacha in the ground, and they discuss sand, they discuss earth, they discuss mud. Many different cases where if what you're doing is a psik resha, it's definitely going to cause the furrow or the hole in the ground. So we should have to suggest that there would be also to do on Sabbath. Obviously, this is only relevant to situation. Therefore, if you're walking on soft earth and it's not necessarily going to, you're not necessarily going to leave a footprint, or even if you're misubik and you think it might be something that's heavy enough to leave a mark, but you're not sure if it is. That's also not situation. That's called sotik situation. But the Mishabur says that's also not situation unless you know that the effect which is also going to happen, it will definitely be Musa. However, if... Pardon? It doesn't hear, but we'll get to why not. So, okay, all the cases we're going to discuss are obviously only going to be relevant if they're cases of segregation. So we have to bear in mind, if we're talking about that there are many achronim, we'll answer some of the cases. Though I'm going to say a reason which I think is sufficient to be matter all of them, but there are only pretty much all of them that are saying that after certain cases, they obviously only mean to ask it in a case when it's segregation. So those afraid who say, for example, you're not allowed to sit on a chair on a soft lawn if it's been raining and you have a chair out on the lawn and the surface is soft enough that the legs of the chair are going to dig into the ground. And there are many who say that that will be a problem because it's a psigratia that is going to dig into the ground. It's going to leave a small hole. That hole would be enough for you to plant a seed in it and lacha to make such a hole in Shabbos. And therefore, they create that with this din of the Nevi'im of Rome in Simchat Torah. And if it's a psigratia that you're creating a hole in the ground which you could use, then that will always be offer. So all these cases are only going to be relevant if it's psigratia. The second point which you have to introduce to say before we can actually get on to the actual discussion is that we're not talking about leaving a small mark on the ground. If you walk on even slightly soft earth, you might leave a footprint, you might leave the shape of the bottom of your shoe on the ground, with a small indentation in the earth. That's not after. That's going to be the kula alma. Although the Mishnah says in Shabbos, Achayrish Kol Shehu, that when you're doing melacha of chayrish, of making a hole in the ground to plant something, as one of the examples in the Gemara, even if it's a kol shehu, that will always be chayav. But the Gemara says the reason why kol shehu is chayav is because you can put a small seed into it. So anything that's not big enough, not deep enough to put any seed in at all, is definitely mitzvah. That's in Torah Shem Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in the seventh book of Shabbos says, become a kol shehu. How much is the kol shehu? It's a deep enough hole to put in the smallest seed, the seed that needs to be under the smallest amount of earth in order to be able to germinate. Figuration is a limitation on Dovah Shemim's covenant. So Dovah Shemim's covenant is if the potential issue that may occur is not what you're trying to do. That's always Dovah Shemim's covenant. In a case when it's inevitable that will happen, it's figuration will ayom, but then it's offer, the Drabonon, and often some cases might be derived, but usually in the Drabonon. In a case when it's not inevitable, it just might happen. You have a heavy piece of furniture which might or might not make a groove in the ground, and you're not sure, you just don't know. It depends on the angle of how you're pulling it. It depends on how tough the ground is. There are things that you're not aware of, and will define whether that's going to happen or not. That will be the option of and that will be missed. Absolutely, you're allowed to do that. You don't have to be concerned about that at all. So all the cases that we're going to speak about are, we're going to just have to keep in mind that it's all obviously only going to be relevant, firstly, if it's a sicuration, that it's definitely going to create a groove or a hole or a furrow in the ground. And secondly, only if it's a sicuration, that hole will be big enough that you can actually use it. It's not just a mark, it's not just a footprint, but something that's actually quite at least a centimeter or two deep, something that's actually theoretically usable. So I'll just go through a number of cases where I can speak about this, and then we'll get to the possible reasons why you might not have to be concerned about it. But the first case that's mentioned, which is actually a Mishnah in Beit HaBachim, is the case of pushing a baby's pram, pushing a buggy. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to push an adolescent tinoik, a wagon, which is what we call a buggy or a pram, in which you put a child on Shabbat, and you don't have to be concerned about the furrow that it's going to create. This mission is not quoted in any of the Pesukim. It's not quoted in the Rambam. It's not quoted in the Torah. It's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not in the Magen Avraham. It's not in the Shavuot. It's not quoted anywhere until the Kaf HaChaim who mentions it. The reason that it's not mentioned is because the Gemara explains that that mission is going according to Rabbi Huda. That mission is going according to Rabbi Huda, who holds Dabash and Mitzvahin Asa. Even Rabbi Huda, who holds Dabash and Mitzvahin Asa, still says that you're allowed to push a buggy, although potentially it might create a groove, and the way that Rashi explains the Gemara is because you don't have to be concerned that any furrow is going to result, since it's on a wheel, and the weight is more evenly distributed, you just don't have to suspect that it might happen at all. However, if we're in that case of situation, you're pushing a buggy or a wheelchair or anything like that in on soft earth or in mud, where it's a situation, it's definite, it's inevitable that the furrow will result. There's no reason to assume that this Mishnah was ever massive. There are some recent questions we do quote the Mishnah. I think they've misunderstood it. The Rashi on the Gemara is clear. The Kaf HaChaim when he quotes it also doesn't say anything about it. There's no remnant anywhere in the Sugya that this Mishnah means that if it's definitely going to create a furrow, you can be massive pushing a wheelchair. The reason given in the Mishnah there doesn't seem to apply. And the Pashtut is that despite that Mishnah, if you're pushing a wheelchair or a buggy on earth where it's sicreisha, it's definite that it will leave a furrow that's deep enough to plant seed, but you would have to ask us. We'll get to why that might not be so, but the Pashtut is that should be included in our questions here. In the same way that Rishonim and quoted in the Magen Avraham and Shimon HaZayin say that dragging very heavy furniture, which will definitely leave a furrow in the earth, will be up on Shabbat, and pushing a buggy or anything with wheels in the garden or in a park or anywhere where it will definitely be furrow in the mud should also be offered on Shabbat. There's another case that's mentioned. This is in the Bi'alot in Mishan Aleph. Someone is allowed to walk outdoors with a cane or a walking stick on Shabbat if he can't walk at all without it, or if there's an area that obviously he can. So the Bi'alot is quoted from the Dodim. Speaks about a cane with a sharp piece on the end, with a nail, with a metal piece on the end to help with grip. And Mishavuot says in the Bi'alacha that L'chora, this should be included in what we've said from Simchim and Azayin. If you're walking with holding something which is definitely going to leave a small hole in the ground, then if it's a situation, if it's definitely going to do that, since the ground is soft enough, then the L'chora that should be answer because you're making a hole in the ground. The more recent posting applies this to high-heeled shoes. Women walking with high-heeled shoes, if the ground is soft, it can leave a little hole. Or shoes with nails in, which often will be up. Anyway, there's a story in the Gemara in Shabbat, a specific case where someone killed someone else with the nailed shoes she was wearing on Shabbat, and therefore it's not necessarily mutter anyway. But also, it might be included not only in that Gzeira, it might be included in this Issa, or Sigresha of creating a hole in the ground. I also mentioned the case of putting a chair or a table on a soft lawn. If you sit on a chair, we have to wait on the four legs, and it might create a small hole in the lawn, which will itself potentially be a mountain rock, or be an issa. And therefore, if it's a sicreisha shape, it's definitely going to happen. L'chora, there should be a sign that this should be awesome. So the first thing that comes to mind when we're thinking about all these questions is, as you mentioned, the question of sicreisha below nichalei. There's a famous machlokes, the Rishonim, the Reb, Mahatzotzes, and the Oruch, in cases of segresha, something that's inevitably going to happen, that you have no interest at all in it happening, with segresha delay nichale, segresha delay ichbatle, it's definitely going to, the table that you're dragging across the floor is definitely going to leave a furrow, but you have no interest in that happening. Will that be included in the issa of segresha or not? La halacha we hold it's after, la halacha we hold it's always after, it might be only the drabonim, but it's always after, even if you have no interest in that resulting, it's always after. There are certain cases when the maisa melacha that we're talking about is anyway only an issa drabonim that we're matu, and a number of folks can mention that Torah in connection with these questions. They mentioned that over here we're talking about something which is kilat hayat, it's a shinui. You don't, if a farmer wants to dig a furrow in his field to plant seeds, he's not going to take a table or a buggy and drag it across the field. He uses his plow, or he digs it with a spade or a hoe. It's definitely kilat hayat, it's in the Rosh Hashanah, that it's still a shinui, somewhere in Shemba Sakhna involved. In which case it's only drabonon. It might also be mekalkel, the Bati discussed it. However, all the Pesukim say, the Mishnah, the Aruch HaShulchan, they all say that it's clear that in this case, the Rishonim were not willing to apply the Heter of Segresha Delei Nichale, because had we said Segresha Delei Nichale is Mutter, then the whole Gemara was the whole case that the Rishonim had to the Gemara of dragging the table across the floor, which they say is after, which we've mentioned, is in the Magen Avraham, it's in Shimon HaZayin. That case will always be Mutter, because it's always Segresha Delei Nichale. We're not talking about someone who wants to have a furrow in the middle of a groove along the middle of his house. We're talking about someone who's pulling the piece of furniture from one side to the other, and nevertheless, because it's a situation that furrow will result, that the Rishonim, the Achronim say is after. Maybe it's not always mechalkel, they say it's only one drabonon, and there are different reasons applied why we might not be able to apply the classic heter to go to le nichale and drabonon. Nevertheless, pretty much all the Achronim agree that we can't apply it, we can't say that over here it should be mutter because of that. And therefore, we have to find another reason. We have to find a reason why we may be able to be. Maybe we'll say it's Hatha'ot, as many more reasons Achronim do. If not, we have to find another reason why we should suggest that the issa of making a furrow or a groove in the ground should not be a problem when you're in any of these cases. That's exactly the same. So no. What that adds is that it's also mechalkel, it's also the structural effect, which is another drab on it. But the Mishnah says even with that added to the mix, you still have to. So I heard from my Rebbe Rav Abish Eisen Shvita in Yerushalayim, he said there was one of the rabbonim of the Badat, the Rebbe Charedis, who publicly told people that for a woman to push a pram in the streets of Meshaim, which were muddier then than now, obviously, on Shabbat would be an issue of the Raisa, and he said it was Shor Yaakov Fisher, but I may have the name wrong. Shor Yaakov Fisher said that he agreed with the fact that it's often the Raisa, but only if she's also smoking a cigarette at the same time. To say that it's an issue of the Raisa is definitely, we've already said it, there doesn't seem to be any doubt that it could be an issue of the Raisa. However, we do need to find a reason why it should not be offered in Drabonon. It's kilat hayav, it's mekalkel, it's davashim miskabel, it's situation. Lenichle, nevertheless, the Mishabura says that we can't be matter pulling a heavy table across the floor, which is a Magen Avraham, it's a rikash, it's a vishosa. Why is this at all different? In what way, what distinction can we find between pushing a buggy or a wheelchair, walking with high heeled shoes or with a metal tip cane? In what way are these cases different? Obviously, as I've said, only if it's a situation that it will create a furrow or a hole that's actually usable, big enough to be usable, which is not very big. So there's a piece in the Shemir Shabbos Kotata, I don't know if it, Shlita quotes his Rebbe Shlomo Zalman, which I've come across misquoted in this context. I've seen people using this heter of Rebbe Shlomo Zalman to be matter our case of the buggy. I've noted right, that you're allowed to push a buggy on the beach on Shabbos in sand, although it's a segresha that is going to create a groove in the sand, so you're going to create a deep enough furrow in the sand that you can theoretically use it. And he says it's not a problem. But if you look in the sun, and I've seen this quoted as an approach to be massive, pushing a buggy or a wheelchair or any of these cases that we've been discussing, that they should be identical to that. However, if you look in the footnote there, he says that if Shemizan was massive, firstly, it's segresha for Lenichale, Kelachayad, Mekalkal, it's Rabbonon, after Rabbonon. Even though that's not enough, Shlomo Zalman says we can be matter because we have one additional point, which is that it's machlokes Rishonim if there's an issa of storish or chofer or making a charis in sand at all, because sand is soft enough that they pull off a tichayach in the Gemara and wine vapor. It's not like Shoshana if I decide. Other cholim add to this, but there can't be a melacha tzorish if you can't plant something there. There are other reasons which are specific to sand, and it's clear in the footnote in the Shemesh HaTzorchot that his head is specifically in sand on the beach. And there he was lucky because there are additional reasons that we can add to the things we've already mentioned. However, there can be a bear on the beach. Or one of the other cases, if you were in high heel shoes or with a metal tip cane. You can have an Erev on the beach if the edge of the sea is deep enough at some point, that would be a machine for me. Okay, fence is further out there. You can have sand places in that. Talking to stop playing in sand is on Shabbat, since it's slightly relevant to this discussion, is it? So, we're still looking for a heifer, basically. In short, we're still looking for a heifer. I have a case where the Rishonim quoted in the Magen Avraham and the Mishabura and the Mishnah Rabbanan say that a psikresha, despite it being lo nishale, of making a furrow in the ground, is always going to be offer, even though it's also kelat hayav. We cannot be masir based on the fact that it's a psikresha of lo nishale and the drabonon. In which case, we're still looking for a heifer. Why do we not have to be concerned if someone's walking in a garden or in a park in a muddy place or somewhere where the earth is quite soft? And it's a psikresha that he's going to leave a deep footprint even, or he's pushing, someone's pushing a wheelchair or a tram or a buggy in such a place. Why would that be mitzvah? Why should we not have to be concerned about that? So l'chayr, there's another reason, which I haven't seen in any of the forums, but l'chayr, there's another reason which seems to me to be very clear why we should not have to be concerned about this pretty much in all cases. Nowadays, in all the cases that we're talking about, when we're walking in our gardens or in our parks, we shouldn't have to be concerned. So far, I've mentioned the melacha of chorish, of preparing the ground for planting, of ploughing the earth, of digging a furrow in order to plant something, of fertilizing the earth as the ground, the field, and the melacha of chorish. Preparing the ground in order to plant something is a melacha of chorish. And the Gemara says in Shabbos Avayin Gimel that HaChoyrish, the HaChoyfer, the HaChoyrit, someone who ploughs or digs a hole or digs a furrow, Choyrit is the same word as Choyrit, is Kula Melacha Achas, they're all the same Melacha Delay, so they're all the Av Melacha of ploughing. However, there's another Gemara which says that HaChoyfer Guma, someone who's digging a hole in the ground, is Chayav for a different reason. It's Chayav not because of the Melacha of Choyrish, it's Chayav because of the Melacha of Choyner. It's Chayav because he built a structure which is a usable hole in the ground. That's a melacha in Shabbos that puts base on the base. The Gemara says that Habonah Kosher will tie it. The Mishnah says someone who builds even a very small amount of tie it. And one of the examples in the Gemara is if you dig a very small hole to hide something in. So it seems from that Gemara that we're not only discussing the melacha of Kosher, we're also discussing the melacha of Habonah. The same is true of making a furrow, making a charit. The Gemara doesn't say anywhere that can be a melacha of Habonah. But there's a Rashi in Shabbat HaFeis. Rashi says that someone who makes a charit, someone who makes a furrow in the ground, is chayav either mishum boina or mishum chayrish. It can either be the melacha of boina or chayrish. Now, generally, we don't find that one action will be also mishum two melachas. We don't find that the same thing that you're doing, the same effect that you're creating, will be also for two separate reasons on Shabbat. So it would seem that in certain cases, digging a furrow or a hole will be a melacha of chayrish. In other cases, it will be a melacha of boina. If we look at the Gemara in Shabbat, that's the space on the base, speaking about Bona and Kufkim Lamed Aleph, speaking about Chayrish, it seems that if you're digging a hole for a use, if you're digging a hole in order to hide something, to keep something, to put something away, the Gemara speaks about the Mishkan, putting the needles under the ground to stop them from nesting, or hiding money, anything like that will be a Melacha Bona. If you're digging it because you want to secure hiding place for something, that would be a Melacha Bona. If you're digging it because you want to plant something, then that would be a Melacha Chayrish. So whether this action of digging a hole will be a melacha of chayrish or a melacha of boina will depend on what you're doing it for. We find a similar thing about the different cases of the Mosheh that speaks in the Fine Gimel and Shabbat about smoothing the earth. If you're smoothing ground, in the Mosheh, if you're in a house, it will be a melacha of boina. If you're in a field, it will be a melacha of chayrish, because in a house, you're doing it because it's easier to use your house with a smooth surface of a flat floor. And if you're outdoors, then it's the only advantage in having the ground flat is either because it's softening the earth or because the fact that the ground is more as itself an advantage for planting and therefore melacha of chayrish. Now, what we're talking about, which is clearly also in the Gemara, which is a case of when you're creating a furrow or a hole without intending to, that itself is, one could suggest that that won't be a melacha at all. If we've created a distinction between digging for purpose of planting and digging for a purpose of hiding something, where one is soyish and one is boimed, so we could understand that if you're digging for no purpose at all, with a sigresha or a balashani miskavin, or you're doing it because you want to use the earth, which is as mentioned in the Gemara, then that shouldn't be also at all, because it would seem to be neither melacha. It's not a melacha boimed because you're not doing it to hide something. It's not a melacha soyish because you're not doing it to plant something. However, the Gemara is clear that it's after. If you're digging a hole and you're not planning to use the hole, it's definitely still after. The question is, which melacha would it be? So the pashtus is, the pashtus would be, would seem to be, this is clear in Tosfos and Shabbos, so speak about outdoors and says it would be chayrish. Other cases, we speak about indoors, we mentioned this is boiner. It would seem to be in the same way that smoothing the floor will be a melacha chayrish if it's in a place where the general usage of that would be for planting, and smoothing a floor indoors will be boiner because it's in a place where the general usage will be for living purposes. In the same way, if you're digging a hole and you don't have in mind a specific use for that hole, although it will be an issa, at least midrabanan, because it would be an issa of boiner if it's in a place, in a situation where the most normal, the expected hishamshus, the expected use for that hole would be to hide something or to stick some post in or something like that, then it would be a melacha of boiner. And if you're in a field and the fire that created would, if someone would have done this with intention, would presumably have been doing it in order to plant something, then that would be a melacha of chayrish. So there's a piece of Igletal. Igletal is speaking about Morgan Avraham. Morgan Avraham says he's attacking, though he's afterwards signed the limit book, the minhag of employing goyim to collect the rubbish and the horse manure from the street on Shabbos. And the Morgan Avraham mentions that this is a melacha of goyim. So there's a melacha, if you pick up animal dung from the streets on Shabbos, that can be an issa of goyim midiraita. And therefore, when everyone says it's not clear, why should it be not to happen? We have to doing this, it should be in the Rabbonim, and so on. And then he finds a head after. So the Egetal asks, why is not everyone saying this is a melacha koinah? It's not in the Shias, it's not in a house. The Soyrish should be Soyrish. So he says, when everyone says it's assuming it can't be Soyrish, it can't be Soyrish because although we're not indoors, we're also not in a place where anyone would plant anything. If you're going to plant seeds and flowers and plants and trees in the road, in the road, or in the chotze, there's a Rashi Erevin that mentioned the boimah in the chotze, then you'll destroy the purpose that you have in that place. Nevertheless, the Morgan Avraham says, it's melacha boimah, he says that itself is a chiddush, but it's clear that everywhere, it will either be a mishum boimah or mishum perish. The Morgan Avraham says that it's still a melacha of boimah because it must be that using it as a walking place, using it as a place where you would want where people walk and whatever people do in the street, is itself a type of hishamshus that's similar to a house. It can't be chayrish because it has nothing to do with planting or growing things. However, the Morgan Avraham understood that since it can't be mutter, because the Gemara doesn't say that there are places where it's even locker, so it must be that this is also included in boner. If we take on the story of this egetal, which is, we've said it in particular in the Gemara as well, what we discover is that although he says about smoothing the ground, that there is no place that's neither chayrish nor boiner, because anywhere that's not to be used by people will be used for planting. But we consider there's a different application when we're talking about our question, which is the question of digging furrows or holes in the ground, that the hole that's created or a groove that's been made in the ground on the lawn or in a park or somewhere like that. What we have here is a place where no one would ever use such a hole. No one would ever dig a hole in such a place at all. No one would want to dig such a hole. It's in fact, as the Gemara says, it's mekalkel. But the Gemara says it's mekalkel, although it's somewhere where one might want to use it, but since you don't, it's mekalkel. But in our case, we're talking about when you're digging somewhere which is, it's not only mekalkel, it's something that has no use. No one will, we don't plant grass seed on our lawns. We don't dig a little hole and put a little grass seed in there. That's not how we create our lawns. So nowadays, we have a situation where the places where we're digging our holes and digging our furrows, unless you're putting a chair in a flower bed or something like that, the hole that will be created will always be something that has no use. It will always be something that no one would ever do for any use. In which case, it seems very likely that that will not involve any milk at all. To do a lechatzila is probably up to the chol. If you go and you decide you just have fun digging holes in your lawn, you're probably doing some sort of it, at least midrabonon. But to say that situation for lenichale in this situation where it doesn't seem to be either the melacha chayrish or the melacha boiner is quite difficult to accept, and that would be sufficient ground for the matir. One more source of this is an Aruch HaShulchan in Tumshim Mount Zion. The Aruch HaShulchan says that those Rishonim who say that you're not allowed to drag the heavy furniture across the field, he says he doesn't understand why that should be a problem in a house. He does have an answer. His answer is quite difficult with the sugya, but he doesn't understand at all why it should be a problem in a house. Because in a field, it can be a Nachal Koresh, because we're creating a furrow, and we could use that furrow for planting. But in a house, he says, nowadays no one uses it to move in the whole of his floor for anything. Even if we're going to usher that, because it doesn't seem in the sugya that it's going to be mitzvah, but nevertheless, he's assuming, and in his answer he doesn't retract this, he's assuming that one can only suggest that there could be any such issa if there is at least some sort of potential use for the whole that's being created, and otherwise it would definitely be mitzvah. And therefore, all our cases that we're discussing, unless, as I mentioned, you're sticking a hole in a flower bed or something like that, if it's in a lawn or in a park or anywhere like that, the ceremony one doesn't have to be concerned at all, even if it is obscuration.